Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back on the Smitty and Trapp Show on Sports Radio 610. Travis Johnson, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham, Joe George hanging out as well. We begin our why you can't. Of course, we go through each week's why you can't do this, why you can't do that. Smitty's going to lead it off this week with his why you can't. Why you can't leave your mic off.
That's
right
why you
there.
Can't leave your mic off when it's time for you to do your part of the show. But yeah, so my why you can't takes us to Chicago. White Sox game, of course, for a lot of baseball games, there's a ceremonial first pitch. And there's usually maybe a celebrity or different dignitaries that throw out the first pitch of ball games. And in this case, the White Sox surprised one of their employees, a woman by the name of Mary Ruich. They surprised her with the opportunity to go out there on the field, on the diamond, and throw out the first pitch. And she's all excited. She gets out there, and she throws the pitch. And the pitch goes nowhere near home plate. Instead, it takes a direct left-hand turn and takes out the intern photographer, Darren Garcia. And when I tell you life comes at you fast, it came at him fast.
Real fast.
Real fast. And that's why I think it should be an edict around all Major League Baseball games that's why you don't surprise people with the first pitch, because you have to have an opportunity to practice before you throw out a first pitch of a ball game. Because if you don't, you're going to have a replay of this. You're going to have a replay of 50 Cent.
Like, 50 Cent was awful.
I mean, there's a bunch of terrible first pitches throughout the history of Major League Baseball. And this one is right there, up there with it. And she's just a normal person that's working doing a great job in the Chicago White Sox organization, and she gets rewarded, and now she's gone viral for hitting the photographer upside the head.
Is the first pitch antiquated? Should they still have the first pitch? I say yes, but I think it's worth the question.
It's part of the fabric of baseball. You can't take that away. You just have to give people an opportunity to practice. Like this lady right here, she should have been able to. They should have taken her underneath the stadium to where she could do some. You know, or not even underneath the stadium. Take her over into the dugout, or not in the dugout, but in the bullpen, and let her practice some before she goes out there. They could have notified her, you know, an hour before the game and said, hey, you're going to win this prize. Come out here and practice a little bit so she can not take out the photographer. What if the photographer would have, you know, you poke your eye out, kid, like a Red Ryder BB gun. Like, what if he would have gotten knocked out? Then there's no photos for the rest of the day.
By the looks of things, though, there wasn't any practice helping that person.
You know,
it wasn't that bad of an arm throw. She let the ball go too late.
Her release point was bad.
That's all it was.
You know what's funny is
that's all it was.
when we played the Red Sox, Astros, you know, Khalil, he's working at,
Khalil Reed, yeah.
No, not Khalil Reed, he worked for the Texans. Khalil did sell cars.
Oh, Max,
They sell cars. I don't know. He probably before your time.
I don't know that Khalil.
But his wife was throwing out the pitch. His wife threw out the pitch on Sunday.
Right.
She's been working for the last month at the gym. I literally been coming to the gym for a
month. How did she do?
She did good.
Exactly, because she had an opportunity to
prepare. What are you doing at the gym to get ready for a first pitch?
It's at Plex, so it's rehab and like a lot of space.
Oh, okay.
So she had literally had a glove, a ball, and somebody catching her for a month just so she, in the first couple weeks was horrendous. I'm like, what is she doing? It was bad. I mean, balls going everywhere.
I got to bring Joe George in on this because he's a Chicago win. What is your thought process on this whole situation? Were they completely out of their mind for just grabbing this lady out of the stands and saying, hey, go throw it up the first pitch?
No, I think it's a great idea to treat your employees this way. I just think, you know, a well-run organization like the one on the north side of Chicago would have prepared their employee for this moment. Like, you can't just send her out there with no preparation. It is your job. You have a pitching coach. Just give her some practice, please.
Do you think that they did this on purpose because the White Sox are so bad and this is publicity and all publicity is good publicity?
No, it's okay. They're not that bad.
There was no conspiracy there?
No, they got Tim Anderson. They're okay.
The two worst things that I've seen, I think they both happened at Wrigley, weren't they? The national anthem, Roseanne Barr's national anthem. Was that Wrigley?
Was Roseanne Barr?
Carl Lewis was the bad anthem, too.
It was terrible.
Carl Lewis had a bad first pitch, too.
Wrigley!
Carl Lewis, one of the greatest athletes ever, not good at throwing first pitches, and he's not good at performing the national anthem. Go Cougs. Power six.
Power six. Wow.
Trap. What's yours?
Why you can't talk about Tupac Shakur in a bad way in 2019? So for y'all who don't know WAC 100 is...
WAC.
Yeah, you know WAC. So WAC 100 is the gangs manager. He's an old school gangster from L.A. So WAC 100 was on Mike Tyson's podcast. And he gets to talking. They're talking about boxing. They're talking about a lot of stuff. But WAC decides he's going to talk bad about Tupac. So Tyson and Tupac were close friends.
Man, they were. Tupac was at the Tyson fight when he got killed.
Exactly.
He was there for his brother to see his brother, you know, go out there and do his thing and perform, and he ends up getting killed after the fight.
So they said the podcast was going well until WAC made the disparaging remarks about Pac, probably talking crazy. And after that, WAC, I guess Mike was pointing at him, you know, it's not too many grown men take the finger pointing.
Right.
And he swung on Mike.
Hold on, so WAC threw the first punch?
Didn't say he connected.
I say he threw it, though. He threw it.
And Tyson went to... Wop, wop, wop. I don't know if anybody, if you in them streets, you know what that means. He gave him that two-piece grease with a side of biscuits. And so WAC has been on Instagram all day talking about he getting ready for the next round. He got himself eating grits and raisins. That's probably because he can't chew out of that jar right now. He's also got, stuff got a little heated at the Hot Boxing Podcast. Win, lose, or draw. I'm not going for it. He said, Freddie Frenchie, not to blame you for the Mike Tyson situation, a dispute amongst men, just between two men. But then he going to say, he talked about the finger point. No real men are going for the finger point. Just notice, however it turned out, WAC went first. End of the day is, I'm not fighting Mike Tyson.
You're not going to throw the first punch, Trap?
Hey, listen.
Points his finger in your face, you not throwing the first punch?
I got that dog that bite over here, that bark over here, and bite over there for Mike Tyson.
It worked out all right for Danny Williams and Kevin McBride. The last two fights of Tyson's career.
That's inside of a ring. Mike Tyson outside the ring, the guy who's my style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. I'm ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat your children. Praise be to Allah. Uh-huh. I don't want to see that man nowhere outside of a ring.
The grown man told another grown man, I want to eat your children.
Tyson was the scariest guy ever. I loved Mike Tyson.
I still love Mike Tyson.
I don't like him as much with his post-boxing career. Like, I don't want him to do stand-up on a stage. He's funny because he's saying borderline funny things, and he's Mike Tyson.
Yeah, because you don't see Mike Tyson being a funny dude. You just be like, he's all business. Mike Tyson talks with a lift, but guess what? You won't mess with him unless you WAC 100 decide you won't throw the first blow and get knocked out.
Listen, if you ever want to go down a rabbit hole and learn about Mike Tyson, go on YouTube, type up Mike Tyson interviews. Mm-hmm. Enjoy.
I think I've seen every Mike Tyson interview that he's ever done. I think I've seen every Mike Tyson knockout he's ever had.
When he had the one about eating your children.
That was to Lennox Lewis. That was in a post match fight. I don't know who he beat that day, but it was in the preparation for Lennox Lewis, because his next fight was Lewis, and he was talking to Lennox Lewis.
He
did get whooped.
That was the same day when he told another grown man. He said, "You really do like me," and with another homophobic remark, and then told him he was gonna do something to him. That's when I was scared. I wasn't scared when he said, "I want your heart, your children."
Right.
When he said that to another grown man, that prison talk, I'm like, no, I'm straight.
Well, from Mike Tyson to a really good singer, why you can't judge a book by its cover? I'm not a big America's Got Talent guy. I've never watched an episode of America's Got Talent, but I saw a bunch of things on Twitter about this young man, Cody Lee. He's autistic and blind, and he goes up on the stage with his mother. You know, he has trouble talking a bit, and then all of a sudden he starts to play the piano and sing, and he turned out this.
I've been so many places. places in my life and time. I've sung a lot of songs and I made some bad rhymes. I've acted out my life in stages, 10,000 people watching.
Just a little bit of Cody Lee, just unbelievable. The judges on America's Got Talent were, you know, they were giving a standing ovation. The crowd lost their mind. Not many things give me goosebumps. That did. I got goosebumps whenever I watched that earlier today.
That was beautiful. I mean, I watched it earlier, and the same thing when you, like you, like you watched it, and watching him talk beforehand.
Yeah, that it. Yeah.
I'm sitting there like, you know what? Like, it was like watching The Ringer. You remember the movie The Ringer with Johnny Knoxville? It was like, I'm gonna go to hell for laughing at this. Because at first you like something like this is not gonna end good,
right?
And then all of a sudden, and it was like he said, like Jeremy said, he couldn't talk. He was like, it was a whole different situation. But then all of a sudden, his mom talked to him when he sat at the piano. He calmed down, mm-hmm. and he almost like he took a deep breath. He sang, like if he could sing in everything in life, he'd be like a whole regular conversation.
Right,
right.
It was the nutty. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
No, I haven't seen it.
It was. It's probably. It made. It literally made my morning.
But it sounds like to me he had the voice of
oh yeah,
an angel like on Step Brothers.
Oh no, you know question.
What I mean? Even though they made it seem like that Will Ferrell could really sing. You know what I mean? Even though he couldn't really sing,
he still was the voice of an angel.
But he had a voice of an angel. Like I just heard that audio.
It was great.
That was amazing.
You gotta watch you. You got to go watch the video of it.
It's even more powerful when you see it with the visual.
Oh, no. Oh, but, as a parent, and here's the thing. When you see parents, and you know, me and you are parents, and you want the best for your kids, and you want to protect your kids, and I think the vulnerability of the mother for taking her child up there and allowing him, and knowing he has these issues, and just trusting that, you know what, they're going to protect my child. I think that was so beautiful to watch her encourage him, because raising kids is hard. Raising special needs kids, I can't even imagine how hard that is.
No question about
that. And to watch that, it was just like, I'm getting goosebumps, man.
Yep.
I'm getting hard nips just thinking about it, man. Like, it's...
Joe George, why you can't...
I didn't know it was going to go there, but...
I didn't either, and I should have let you go last year, because now I'm going to make fun of your Lakers, Travis. Because look, and you know what? A little bit of James Harden, a little bit of Eric Gordon, you're all getting shots fired. When your former agent comes out and tells a story about how Kobe Bryant had dinner with a dead dude, like, that is not okay. Rob Pelinka tells a story about how Kobe Bryant got dinner with Heath Ledger after the Dark Knight premiere. That never happened because Heath Ledger had passed away 6 months prior. So Rob interrupts this like talk from Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
It's The Rock.
To tell this made up story. Like, what are you doing? You can't lie like this in front of cameras anymore. Don't be an idiot, Rob.
Well, he might have got his dates mixed up. And it was like,
You can't get your dates mixed up.
He might have got his jokers mixed up.
They were in Hong Kong in November and Heath was gone in December. So, like, there's no way this story is accurate at all. It is fraudulent and a lie.
Hey, our president can lie every day and nobody call him out. Let this man live.
It was also the lie, too. He was like, Kobe was so impressed with how Heath Ledger just bought into the role that Kobe Bryant just had to have dinner with.
It was heartfelt and everything. Like, come on, bro. Rob be lying.
Well, maybe.
Rob be lying.
Maybe Kobe saw it a
Stop
year before
to
it
save
came
Rob.
Out. Maybe Kobe saw it before it came out. The mama, he had the mama mentality, so he probably smoked a doobie and was out there, met with Heath Ledger.
So Kobe smoked doobies?
No.
Come on now. Does Kobe seem like the type of dude that'll smoke anything?
Hey, let me have my how high.
You're acting like Rob Pelinka right now is what you're doing.
High school
you
high.
And Rob Pelinka, two peas in a pod.
Hey, you remember high school high when he smoked his homeboy and his homeboy came to him?
No, that was How High.
How High.
How High.
Same difference.
Classic movie.
Classic
that
movie.
That is a classic movie.
So maybe he smoked.
Jeremy Branham, watch How High. I know he hasn't seen it. I'm going to ask
like
him.
I have.
You've seen How High?
I think so.
He probably was high.
I think so.
Jeremy Brown?
Coming up next, the Fight Club. Magic Johnson versus Rob Pelinka. Could Ezekiel Elliott be heading to court? And what about the NFL? Could we be heading for a work stoppage? It's the Smitty and Trap Show on Sports Radio 610. Welcome back into the Smitty and Trap Show and into the Fight Club on Sports Radio 610, where we take you through the best sports fights of the week. We got an opener. We have an undercard. and we have our main event of the evening. We start with our opener, Dallas Cowboy running back Ezekiel Elliott versus the security guard who was in Vegas, wasn't it? When he kind of nudged up into him and he pushed him over the stanchion. And the security guard's thinking about filing a lawsuit against Ezekiel Elliott if he won't do it, if the guy gives him a sincere apology. If Ezekiel Elliott gives the security guard a sincere apology.
Why Zeke hasn't already, why hasn't he already apologized to this kid, man?
I haven't seen the video, but apologize for what?
You didn't see the video?
No.
Oh, he needs to apologize.
Why? What'd he do?
Because, he was in Vegas. He was in Vegas, right? Of course. He's in Vegas. So imagine Zeke Elliott, he's in Vegas. He mind his business. He's just having a good time, right? And so what he does is, I guess the security guard says something to him that he didn't like. Maybe move from over here. You have to go over here. Because it's a security guard. That's what they do. Yeah. They tell you to go places that you might not necessarily want to go. So instead of Zeke just maybe cussing the guy out or telling him shut up, whatever, you know, doorman, whatever, like on, you know, Knocked Up, he could have used that. No, he didn't do that. What he did was he walks up to the kid. The kid was 19 years old, and he looked little guy, little guy working security, and he gives him a little shoulder shiver.
He was little, but he was tough.
Yeah, I guess he fell. He fell pretty easily, so I don't know how tough the security guy was. But he gave him a little shoulder.
He gave him a little forearm shimmy.
Yeah, he gave him a little. But it was mostly shoulder.
Shoulder shimmy.
Just kind of, you know how you walk. You remember when you was like 6 or 7 and you was getting ready to fight somebody and you walked around in a circle?
Yeah.
That you didn't want to fight him.
But you wanted to
keep walking around the shoulder. So you put your heads together sideways and you just walking around a circle like as long as you hit me first. Yeah. You hit me first.
Yeah.
He did that without all of the extra talk. He just walked up to him and hit him with the shoulder and the dude fell down. And so after that, they put him in handcuffs.
Did nobody tell you not have a good base?
He should have had a good base, no question about that. But the security guard could have pressed charges. The security guard was like, nah, let him go. He looked up to Zeke Elliott. That was his hero or whatever. That's what he said.
That's what they all say.
That's what he says. But he has not sued yet. But he said he would sue if he doesn't get a sincere apology from Zeke Elliott. You have to look me in my eyes and tell me you're sincerely apologetic.
I ain't apologize.
You ain't apologize?
Nope.
What are you going to do? Not you going to go to trial?
What they going
to
do?
Would you rather apologize or spend money?
He's going to pay a settlement and try to put
explain
it on.
That one too. Would you rather spend money or
I'm
apologize?
I'm not apologizing.
You're not apologizing?
Why wouldn't you apologize?
But you was wrong. What? You was wrong.
Because
everything about it was wrong. He was wrong.
Apology is a sign of weakness.
You were mean to the guy.
A sign of weakness.
I'm not shows you're a man.
If it ain't my wife,
you're a gentleman.
If it ain't my kids or my family, I ain't apologizing.
So you don't make mistakes?
Yeah, I make mistakes.
Okay, so if you make a mistake and you apologize for your mistake, that makes you weak?
With them people out there in Vegas, I'm not apologizing none of them. Because, you know, you've been to Vegas.
What? Why?
It was at a festival. It wasn't even
Vegas.
You're talking about one of these different
security
type of situations.
You know how the security
guards. It
wasn't
one of those, though. It wasn't at Wet Republic and you need to put on some board shorts type of situation.
It was like a
19-year-old
kid paying through school.
It was like a festival on a dirt road type situation.
That was different. I still wouldn't apologize. I mean,
when was the last time you said sorry for something? I think we need to have an intervention.
Yeah. I don't know.
You got to get that out, man. Don't keep that all balled up and pent up in you. You know what I mean?
Boney, I'm sorry. The last time I gave y'all whoopings, I'm sorry.
Now, I know you're not sorry about that.
No, I'm definitely not.
Nah, because you earned whoopings.
They earned those. And these three definitely earned all their whoopings.
All right, moving on to the undercard of the evening. We mentioned Rob Pelinka last segment. We'll mention him again, which he kind of looks like Rob Lowe, by the way. Have you guys
looks
noticed
exactly
this?
Like
he looks
Rob.
Just
it's really
like
weird.
Rob Lowe.
It's
he's
really
like,
weird.
What was the old Rob Lowe on those cable commercials? He was called like Discount Rob Lowe.
Yes.
Like this is Laker GM Rob Lowe. This is what Rob Pelinka is. And he kind of acts like Rob Lowe or whatever. Anyways, Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson are battling it out. We heard Rob Pelinka is like just a liar and lies about random things. Magic Johnson, who took over the Lakers, just a bad team president or whatever you're calling him. He was he only showed up for work like once or twice a week, running all of his other businesses. He made longtime female employees cry with his antics. There were some people saying that there was a Magic Johnson who would use his charisma, you know, kind of curry favor with people around the office. And then there was Irvin Johnson who treated everybody poorly. Magic Johnson threw Rob Pelinka under the bus. Rob Pelinka threw Magic Johnson under the bus. Long story short, the Los Angeles Lakers are turning into the New York Knicks.
Are they that bad?
They are that
it's
bad.
It's bad right now. But here's
but the here, owner of the Knicks is yeah. You can't argue. You can't debate that he's not the. He's
I mean,
definitely
Jeannie
the
Buss
worst
isn't much better right now.
But here's what I'll say. being an LA guy is about Magic Johnson, the businessman. As I've always heard, he's been a butt jerk as far as when it comes to business. When it comes to everything else outside of business, Magic is happy. He's Magic.
Doesn't that go hand in hand, though?
That's why he's great.
A shrewd businessman?
Of course.
You know what I mean?
They say Shaq is the same way.
Right.
They say Shaq, outside of business, is the coolest dude you'll be around. But when it comes to business.
Comes to those numbers.
You don't want Shaquille.
You don't want Shaq.
Same thing with Magic and Irvin.
Yeah, you don't want Irvin.
Right.
Because them boy, like, I mean, he's thinking, you got to think about it. Magic Johnson, for a long time, when it comes to a lot of things, except for business, been, yeah, he's a funny, happy-go-lucky guy. When Magic used to have the little late hour, the little showtime at late night hour show,
yeah,
we used to think it was the funniest thing ever because Magic, you're like, oh, man, this Magic sounds terrible. This is horrible. He sounds like
it was a train wreck.
It definitely was a train wreck.
Right.
But everything, when it comes to business, man, Magic don't play games, man. So Magic is looking like, this is my legacy.
But with all of these allegations about the stuff that Magic was doing in the office, according to Rob Pelinka, he was never there. So how was he doing all this dirt?
The one time he was there a week.
So it was like once a week, and he was
making everybody cry.
And then he would leave for a week and then come back.
That's right.
It's hard for me to believe because Rob Pelinka is the same guy that said what he said about Kobe. He made up a story to The Rock in front of his entire team, just straight up bold-faced lied, made that up. So I don't know what to believe in the situation. You got to believe, you know, if somebody says this.
I'm believing Magic.
You believe Magic. But Magic, I don't think he denied any of these allegations from the employees yet because they just came out. They just dropped. It'll be interesting to see what he says in reply to that.
They should both be out of a job. I mean, Magic quit. I think Pelinka should be fired. Is there a worse Twitter handle than @MagicJohnson, by the way? Do you guys follow Magic? He is literally the worst tweeter that is known to man. And he, of course, quit because he wanted to tweet more.
But because he can. Magic is almost a billionaire because he can. Why go to work and do something that's probably not making me happy? I want to be Magic. I want to be love.
He's got all these random pictures on his
Showtime.
But he apparently he loves Jeannie Buss, and he wanted to show her love by being there full time and giving her everything he got so he could bring the Laker brand and bring the Laker organization back to the summit. And it ain't happening. And the Lakers right now,
well, that's also
they in a bad place right
that's
now.
That's because losing brings a lot of things to the surface. If they would have got Paul George this past year, and would have been winning games, you think we'd hear any of this? Except for maybe the lie that Pelinka told. That probably still comes out.
Even if they got Paul George, they're not getting above a 5 seed in the West. Like the Lakers would, they played a bunch of bad basketball.
Lakers with Paul George still would have ran through the Rockets.
You go still talking about that. No.
You saw what happened.
There's only one team that could run through the Rockets. And they're getting ready to play tomorrow.
Magic Johnson, May 28th, after stuffing my face yesterday with salmon, shrimp, barbecue chicken, ribs and sides like macaroni and cheese, potato salad, and grilled veggies, I indulged in too much dessert. This morning I had to go to the gym and work it off with my Showtime teammate Byron Scott and friend Charlie. Got a picture of them in the gym.
That was the whole caption?
That was
the tweet?
That's his tweet?
It's Magic, baby.
Sprinkling
what
a little
do you
magic
mean?
On Twitter. That's all he's doing.
Hey, he's being Magic.
All right, moving on to the main event of Fight Club this week, the NFL versus the NFLPA. Smitty, can we be looking at a work stoppage in the NFL?
Listen, DeMaurice Smith sent out an email to all of the players that are part of the union and told them you need to save up your money and get ready because the lockout, you have to prepare it as if it's going to happen. And I remember he told us that back in 2011. It was 2010 at that time when it was coming through the pipeline that, you know, there was a thought that they were going to lock out the players, and the ownership did it. They locked us out. So we're over there practicing at Rice University, getting ready for the season, not knowing if we're ever going to have a job again.
What are you guys doing over there?
I just literally clicked.
We're having a sports radio show
here.
I don't know
what just happened.
These guys.
Where'd the speaker come from?
What speaker?
On the computer. I'm trying to pull up articles.
They come with speakers these days.
I know,
man.
You know, the other studio never had speakers.
No, the computers these days, they come with speakers, bro.
Hey, the other one never had speakers.
These computers in here are touch screen.
We got new age stuff, man. I never knew we had around here.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the touch screen. See, you even know that either.
I had no idea.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts over here in the studio. But yeah, man, the work stoppage, listen, guys have to prepare themselves and understand that if the players want to get some type of leverage in the situation, you have to prepare in advance, because if you don't, you're going to lose out and you're going to end up with the CBA like we had now. There was, you got to think about it, back in 2011, guys thought we were hitting the lottery because they took practice schedules away.
I knew it was trash.
And they made the rookies get paid under a certain wage scale.
The rookie wage scale.
Right, and they thought that was going to make the veteran players get more run. And you know what? It did the exact opposite.
It got rid of all the veteran players.
It got rid of all the veterans. There's not 7, 8, 9-year veterans on teams making $2-3 million. It just doesn't happen.
Nope.
They just get them a young guy. And so that's one of the main things that they need to work out with this new CBA, because that's part of the reason why the product on the field isn't as good as it used to be, because there's not enough veterans on the rosters. It's either superstars and young guys.
How do they fix that, though? Because the veterans minimum is more expensive than the rookie minimum.
But see, and that goes to all of the people. We need to stop putting these quarterbacks. We need to stop putting these guys who really don't care about what the CBA, because they're already filthy rich. Everybody, like, you talking about, oh, no more hitting in practice. Who did that really help? Because guess what? The offensive defense line, we still hit every day no matter what we got on.
This is true.
You know, and when you talk about the only people that helped was the receivers.
But, I mean, Eric Winston was the president of the NFLPA. Wouldn't he be the one to know that?
But here's my thing.
He wasn't the president then.
Okay.
He wasn't the president. He was just starting to right tackle for Houston, Texas back then.
And then so you look at all the people last time, like, we took the deal that was the like, what did we lock out for? The deal we took was the exact same deal they offered us the first week we were before we got locked out.
So you got nothing out of it.
We got nothing.
Now, mind you, we didn't lock out. They locked us out.
So
basically they put us in the corner and said, y'all stay in the corner until y'all come to the table and talk some sense.
You know who's rooting for this to happen? The XFL. Not to say the XFL is a threat for the NFL, but maybe it gets a lot of those fringe guys and makes the XFL a better product, and they'd be the only football product on.
They don't have the money to get those guys. They might, but them guys with contracts, and depending on how these XFL contracts are going to be set up,
right?
Those guys are not going to be allowed to go play XFL while they wait on the NFL to be ready, and the XFL is not going to allow that. Yeah. I think with this CBA, it's a lot of things that need to get done. One is taking care of the pre-92 guys and taking care of all the guys – from before this last CBA, making sure everybody gets taken care of. If they can fight for the insurance for lifetime, real lifetime insurance,
that's huge.
You could tell the teams, you keep all of what you got right now, but everybody who's played in this game needs lifetime insurance.
I'm with you. You guys should hold a town hall on this.
No question about it. And this is the one thing I don't want the guys to get stuck on is this whole marijuana thing.
Oh no,
if guys feel like, oh well, they're going to take the testing away, so we'll allow them to shove some bull down our throats. That's the reason why that's the biggest kind of – that's why they're talking about
that's
it
That's
why so
they're
much.
Talking the about it so much.
Because the owners are part of that.
They smoking mirrors right now. They're giving, we're going to dangle this weed over here. Yeah. We're going to steal all the money out your pocket.
Exactly.
We're going to dangle this weed over here. We're going to take this insurance. Guess what? If you fail the weed exam – you're the dumbest person on planet Earth. The weed test is not a weed. It's not a street drug test. It's an IQ test. Or are you smart enough to pass this test every year?
Or do you care enough?
Do you care enough? That's all it is.
Are you smart enough or do you care enough?
It's never really been a test.
Yeah. I'll say this. I think Major League Baseball will have a work stoppage before the NFL does. We'll see what happens with both of them. Coming up next, where does Bill O'Brien come in on the NFL coaching rankings? And also new ideas on how to improve the NFL. Do our former NFL guys agree? It's coming up next on the Smitty and Trap Show on Sports Radio 610. Smitty and Trap Show on Sports Radio 610 with Smitty and Trap. I'm Jeremy Branham, Joe George behind the glass. Did you guys catch wind of, I'm sure you did, Bill Buckner passed away a couple days ago at the age of 69. Of course, Bill Buckner, the famous play with Bill Buckner, the ball went between his legs, allowed the Mets to win the World Series. That happened in Game 6.
It bounced off the pebble? Yeah, that's why it went between his legs.
So, a bunch of sports outlets, ESPN, many others, whenever they put on their scroll or they put on their website that Bill Buckner passed away, one of the things that they, I guess, was synonymous with him that they listed was Bill Buckner committed the famous error in the 1986 World Series. Is that fair or foul? Is it okay to post right there, Bill Buckner passed away, committed the famous error in 1986, or should have they had, you know, Bill Buckner's career numbers, career stats? Was that fair or foul? Because ESPN was they had a little criticism whenever it came to what they decided to do.
I mean, it's part of his deal. It's the same thing with, like, Jackie Smith that played for the Cowboys. Like, that's – when you play at such a high level, there's benefits and there's detriments to being at that type of stage. And everybody knows that Bill Buckner, for the rest of his career after that play happened, it probably wasn't a day that passed in his life that either he didn't think about that or somebody mentioned that to him every single day. And so that's just part of his deal. That's part of his story. Now, what he does with that situation that he had to go through, that's upon him. And apparently, from all reports, he used that and kind of flipped it and used it for his good, I guess you could say. But I think it's fair for them to post it. The thing that was weird to me was Darren Revelle coming out.
That was weird.
With his weird tweet.
Yeah,
like.
It didn't make any sense. I read it like seven times. I'm like, what is he trying to say? And then when somebody was like, how dare you on the day he died? And I'm like.
Yeah, Revelle said Bill Buckner's death comes with unexpected guilt. The guilt of 8-year-old me, who thanks in part of his to his error, got his only major sports championship, Mets, Jets, Nets, Islanders. So Revelle got his only sports championship as a fan because of Bill Buckner's error. Rest in peace, Bill. I'm sorry my joy came with your pain. That was just, it was kind of odd.
I'm sorry my joy came with your pain.
Yeah, that was weird.
Come on, well, that wasn't necessary. I just think that Darren Revelle is he's a stats, number, analytical guy.
Keep it that way.
Socially awkward, probably, right?
Socially awkward, no kind of empathy, and there's a time and place, and there's no time for that statement. Like, keep that to yourself. You might think that, but you don't say that. But at the same time, the people that got so up in arms about that whole situation, like, come on, dude is a weirdo. He says weird things.
But not just that.
That's not the first weird thing he said. There's no reason for you to you know, call for his head because a weirdo said a weird thing.
But here's my thing. Everybody with the fake mad, like, he didn't know outrage. Him. If I don't know Bill Buckner, I can say whatever I want to say.
And now, you got to be respectful, though.
You still got to respect the dead.
Everybody say, respect the dead. Respect the dead, man.
Come on, man.
Respect anybody, not even the dead. Just respect
anybody. Yeah, of course respect anybody. But at the same time, it was bad that you bought it. You read it so much more eloquently than I read it in my head. You know, because I'm like, that wasn't really bad. He was saying, listen, as an 8-year-old kid, when you missed that ball, I had so much joy in my heart because my team won their championship. But looking back on it, I feel guilty because as a young man, you didn't realize the pain that one person was going through to give you so much joy.
Yeah,
he didn't
agony.
Explain it the way you just did. That showed like, man, I was reflecting and I realized that, man, this thing brought me so much joy, but you actually went through so much pain. And you know what? I wish that you didn't have to go through that. Period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he didn't. Both of you guys stated it much better than he did, and that's because you guys have empathy.
Yeah.
You guys understand what feelings are about, and I think that Darren Revelle doesn't. And if you know he's that type of guy, why are you so mad at him for being himself?
No, I mean, if weirdos are weirdos. I mean,
exactly.
It's like Drax. You know, Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Like, oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, just went over your head. No, it cannot go over my head. My reflexes are too quick. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. You expect him to react weird in that way. You have to get back like, nah, why did you take that so literally?
I thought it was fair of all of these networks to say that Bill Buckner, famous for the error in 1986, I thought it was fair, too. That is the lasting image that we have as sports fans of Bill Buckner. And like you said, Wade, Bill Buckner did kind of poke fun of his own self with it. He was on a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where they made fun of it. So Bill Buckner, I think, found peace with it. So I don't think it's an issue. Moving on. Joe George, we mentioned this earlier in the show. This is Samaki Walker-like quicknesses. He went viral in these last couple of days. There's an Instagram post that has had a ton of views. Joe George starred in this Instagram that has tons of views that has went viral. Joe, I wouldn't do it any justice explaining it myself, so I hand you the stick.
All right, so I was working my other job, assistant manager at a Lids, and I'm sitting there talking to a customer, and all of a sudden, a hat falls off the shelf. Weird, right?
Yes.
Then all of a sudden, it starts crawling away out of the store. So I run over, I step on what I find out to be fishing string, and realize someone's taping me, and I think it's like no big deal. And then yesterday, I get a text from my boss at Lids, and I just go, it says, oh, you're famous. And my response was, oh, no. Like, I didn't realize that it was this big. So they were basically going around the mall, putting, like, fishing string on clothes, on different items. And I don't think they were actually stealing. It's just a prank. But, like,
because,
like,
people's reactions.
Their videos are funny. Like, there's, like, videos like them at Walmart throwing, like, glitter up into the air and then hiding. And people have no idea where it's coming from. So it's actually, like, a funny video. But I don't know how I feel about being in a viral video.
Joe, you know why this happened, right? Remember last week you had so much to say about Tyler White, talking about he was the fat kid? You know why this happened, right?
Yeah, it's but you saw there was quickness.
There was quickness, and the fact that you stepped on the little screen and didn't even see the screen, that was pretty.
You looked like you was top flight security, and you were just doing your job.
Of the world, Craig.
Of the world, Craig.
You should ask for a raise.
I already have, but this should solidify that.
I'll let him take it.
What was the name of the Instagram so people can check it out?
I don't even have it with
me. I think it's called @myhouseisdirty.
Yeah.
On Instagram.
I wasn't tripping. If I'm that guy, if I'm Joe and I'm seeing it, I'm like, it ain't mine.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. I don't know who behind that screen. It could be a demon over here just floating that sucker up out of here.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one kind of backed away from it. Because you just see a random hat like going through, like going down the floor, and you can't see anything, pulling it like, man, what's going on here? No. It's time for me to go.
So there's a guy that he's not in the video, but like he was an older guy, but he smelled like he had just come back from a session in the car. Like he'd been hitting it hard.
Okay.
And he walked up to me after, he goes, I thought I was tripping. Like he thought he was just like high as could be and saw this hat fall off the shelf and start dragging out the store by itself. It was an experience. Made me realize why I didn't miss retail, and I was bummed I had to go back into it, but I'm viral now.
It's good stuff. Joe is an internet sensation, a social media star. When's your Tosh.0, Joe George? When is your Tosh.0?
I don't know. You know what my biggest problem with this is? That like they were complaining about the strain when I made them cut it. Like, I made them cut it up at the top, and they're like, this is expensive. Like, this video has 250,000 views on Instagram. They're not making any money off of it. Like, they suck at making content.
Yeah.
Come on.
They need to find a way to capitalize that. Yeah. Did you guys see where Bill O'Brien was ranked on the Sporting News head coaching rankings around the NFL?
No, enlighten us.
17. I'm not going to go through the list and nitpick on who he should be ahead, who he should be behind. But what do you think? 17th the league.
I don't agree with that.
It's an 8-8 league.
It is an 8-8 league, but I don't agree with that.
32 teams, correct?
Yes, 32 teams.
That hasn't changed, right?
No.
So that means he's below average.
He's below average.
Slightly. Like he is
below average is below average. If below he was 16, average. He was average. He's below average. That's what this list is saying.
He's the first below average coach according to the Sporting News.
This is what the Sporting News is saying.
I can't agree with that. I mean, when you look at what he's done since he's been here, I mean, this is a guy who's, for the most part, all intents and purposes, is only what? Four teams that got further than he has in the AFC?
He's had four winning seasons in 5 years, three division titles in 5 years.
Answer me this, Jeremy. Is Jason Garrett ranked ahead of him on this list? If Jason Garrett is ranked ahead of him, then the list loses all credibility. What was Jason Garrett ranked on the list?
Drum roll, please. Jason Garrett's number 12.
No, get it out. Give us the ones ahead of him.
I need that fake news.
We'll go 16 to 10. Ron Rivera 16. Bruce Arians, after a year out of the league, is 15. Dan Quinn 14. Mike Zimmer 13. Jason Garrett 12. Matt Nagy 11. And Frank Reich is at number 10.
Okay, I agree with Frank Wright, even though it's just 1 year, but you know he made
Bruce Arians got his hat handed to him, his little Kango handed to him the last time he was coached.
And if we're also talking about currently, like right now, I would have him in front of Arians. I know Arians has done more in his career, but we're talking I had him ahead of Rivera, and I have him ahead of Garrett.
I agree with that.
There was one other name on there that you said that
Nagy.
Reich was 10, Nagy 11, Garrett 12, and Zimmer 13, why you,
and Wright, and to be honest,
Quinn,
with you,
Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn.
He's been to a Super Bowl.
He's been to a Super Bowl, but they blew the Super Bowl, and that roster was stacked. I would say that Bill O'Brien is a better coach than Dan Quinn, I got love for Dan Quinn.
He had Mike Shanahan
that
year, too.
He was my coach in Miami, but I think that Bill O'Brien is a better coach than – you said. What did you say about Shanahan?
Well, Quinn had Shanahan.
Oh, yeah.
He was the offense coordinator that year.
And I put him in front of Wright.
Kyle Shanahan, my bad.
I'll put him because, like, what is Frank
you
Wright?
You would put Bill O'Brien in front of Frank Wright.
Why not?
Reich had one season and he beat O'Brien in the playoffs, if I'm making that case.
Yeah.
But you beat him two out of three times. What have you done for me lately?
He did, but Bill O'Brien, with a similar schedule, won the division.
Very true.
No question. I think that's a toss up. I don't think the difference between the two is 10 and 17.
Yeah.
I think it's probably closer to 13, 14, 12, 13, whoever you want. I have Bill O'Brien in the top half of the NFL. I still have concerns of Bill O'Brien, and I'm curious what the hot seat is for Bill O'Brien. I don't think it is hot. I think it's cool. Ooh. But I think this is a big year for Bill O'Brien with Deshaun Watson. And I don't think it's a big year necessarily in wins and losses, Because if he goes 7-9 and the offense is dreadful and Deshaun Watson looks terrible, I think that seat needs to get warm. But if they go 7-9 and Deshaun Watson looks like his first six games of his rookie year and they're a top seven offense in the NFL, I don't think the seat should be warm.
I think 7-9, the seat should be warm, period. I don't think it's a 7-9 team. I think this is a playoff team that needs to win 12 to 13 games, you know. Which 12 to 13? I say 10 to 12, excuse me. Okay. 10 to 12 games.
There we go.
I think you win 10
back
to 12.
Back down to earth a little bit. High expectations.
I think you win 10 to 12 games because this team is capable of it. I mean, let's not sit there and say the AFC South is not the creme de la creme.
I think it's pretty good.
No, AFC South is good, but listen to this.
It's good, but
listen
to this.
The reason why they won't win 10 to 12 games is that they keep playing around with Clowney. They need to go ahead and pay the man and bring him in here because he's going to come in here. If everything goes the way it's going right now, then that means he's going to come in week one. He's not going to be Jadeveon Clowney in week one. He's going to have to take time to get into form. And then you risk more injury because he hasn't had the foundation laid for the season. So that's a quick way to lose a game or two that you might have a much better chance to win if you have him in full strength. And that's, to me, this whole Jadeveon Clowney situation is how much do the Texans really feel like they can win a Super Bowl this year? Because I think if they really felt like they had opportunity to win a Super Bowl this year, they would go ahead and take care of it.
And take care of
the situation. I think that they're looking towards to 2020 more. Like, I think that 2020, they feel like it's their year, that they can really make a run.
Well, you know, like I know, in the NFL, it's nothing like the present.
No question. And from the player's perspective, we don't care about next year.
2020 ain't promised to none of us.
The next play isn't promised.
Exactly.
Bring in my guy. If I'm on the team, I'm thinking like, man, can we please pay Clowney and get him in here? Because Clowney said it himself last year when he was sitting out all that time and wasn't getting work, he had to work himself back into form.
Exactly.
The Texans started off, what, last year? 0-3, right?
0-3.
Wasn't that how the season started?
0-3.
Okay, then. Did Clowney have any great games in those first few games?
No. He missed one, in fact, too.
As
but
soon
still
as he had a great game, what happened? They did what?
They started doing
they
well.
Won the game. And then they went on a dang streak. Like, stop playing around and pay the man.
And to be honest with you, JJ didn't play well in those first three games either without Clowney playing well. So then they fed off each other.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, both of them start making tremendous amount of plays. Both of them start making a tremendous amount of plays because they fed off each other. And I think that was probably the beauty of having one and having the other. So I don't think – they're like the yin and the yang, man. It works together. You got to have both of them there.
Answer me this. Could the Texans do something like what the Broncos did with Chris Harris and just give Clowney a couple of extra $1 million this year to get him to come in early? Do you think that's reasonable to do, A?
I don't think it's legally you're able to do it, but I think you talking about as far as give him
like could he sign the tender and then they give him a couple extra million on top of that, like, hey, come in. I mean, he's already signed the tender, but come on in and we're going to give you an extra couple $1 million for this season, but it's not going to be long term. But we have you in the building. You can come in and do the work that you need to do, and then you'll be ready to go. Like, is that something reasonable? Because the Broncos did it, and I'm not saying that John Elway is the best, you know, general manager.
But they have money to spend, right?
But they have the
money to spend.
The Texans have the money to spend, so why not throw them a couple extra $1 million to get them in here now? Is that possible? Like,
if you're not going to spend
713-572-4610, if y'all think that that's something reasonable
now,
to do, the Texans
has
to do.
He signed his tender, though?
I don't think because if he signed it, he has to be here.
Right. No. He doesn't have to be here.
But if he signs
his tender, you can't rip up the tender and give him a new contract. But if he hasn't signed his tender, you can just, okay, here's 1 year deal. We trash up the offer. Get rid of that.
A one year deal, 30 some million. Yeah.
Well, but they want
the franchise on him because
you can still franchise him next year, though. But that would cost more because it costs 140% of his salary.
I think if you franchise him, you get more for him if you trade him as well. Because it's certain requirements, I think, that come. It's like a transition tag. It's certain stuff that comes with. Go ahead.
Now go ahead.
I know it's certain stuff that comes with the tag that you have to give up in order to get somebody's franchise player.
I got you. Here's something from the text line, and this sounds halfway decent, reasonable, I think. This is a 312 guy says, or girl says, is this fair for Clowney? 6 years, $112 million with $72 million guaranteed.
Maybe. My hunch with Clowney is the Texans start 2-5 and they trade him at the deadline.
start 2-5, man. I hope not.
That's doom and gloom.
That's
man.
That's my doom and gloom. That's my hunch.
I don't want no part of that.
Hello, Brian strives with 2-5 records.
Yeah,
that's true. He did come back from
right
that,
where we want
playoffs.
Him.
Right where we want him. Hey, we got him where we want him. Hey, man, listen. We talked about this earlier, and I think it's something we have to address again. Is this new CBA or what might happen, guys? Let's not get enamored with the weed talk. Let's go for our future. Our future is health insurance. Our future is making sure we can take care of our family. Even when the money stops going in, you can still take yourself to the hospital. Get things done. Next week, tune in. Me, Jeremy, Wade, Joe, Trap J, Wade Smith, Smitty, Jerry Branham, and Samaki Walker on the boards, Joe George. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's always real, fellas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.